Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd at Season 8, Episode 86. And Dave, it feels like we've been apart for years. I hope you had a great trip to Florida. I've been running around New York, and the Combine starts today, so we've got a lot to get to.
Yeah, I didn't have a great – trust me, it wasn't a vacation when I went to Florida. I was telling Alex on the Tuesday show, I could poorly write two nice memoirs on two different probably topics, the travel and then my visit alone. So, let's not spend too much time on that. But, the good thing about the NFL calendar, I was just telling my wife this last night, is, boy, it certainly does flow. Not much of a downtime, and here we are, the 2018 NFL Scouting Combine, of course, underway in Indianapolis. The offensive linemen and running backs are on the field today doing their thing, while the defensive linemen are getting weighed in as well. So definitely, and for those that don't know, we are once again, as usual, I don't know, it's like the fifth or sixth year in a row, I think, tracking the results live on SteelersDepot.com. You should be able to find that spreadsheet fairly easy if you're into the numbers type thing. I know I definitely am. I like to look at those, watch the Underwear Olympics, and then, you know, kind of compare some stuff back to the tape. Again, I think you can read a lot into some of these times, especially going back and looking at kind of players that the Steelers have had interest in certain positions where, you know, kind of thresholds, if you will, about some times and some some distances jumped and those kind of things. So definitely an exciting time of year. And more specifically, we got to hear from Kevin Colbert again this week.
Yeah, you know, as we've talked about this offseason, it season ends in disappointment with the game against the Jags. We hear from Mike, we hear from Art, and we hear, you know, finally from Kevin, or hear from Kevin a couple different times. And there's not a lot to say, because this team, where they are and how they're positioned, they are so filled with talent in so many positions. We, you know, beat the Le'Veon Bell thing to death, and we'll touch on it again a little bit more today. And then there's just some glaring needs. And the Shazier thing opened the thing up at inside linebacker. And the question was, at the end of the season, how directly impactful was Ryan Shazier's injury on the Steelers' defense? You know, there were aggression toward the end of the season, really the really poor play down the stretch, and obviously against the Jags, that cost them their season. So it's all straightforward stuff. And I didn't think Kevin said anything that was, you know, at all surprising. But he touched on some topics that, that we'll get to. I don't know what jumped out at you. Certainly him saying, and we said this the minute the season ended, you know, Ben Roethlisberger is going to get asked a question about retiring. He's going to get asked a question about his career. And I was so damn happy that not only did he put that to bed literally in the minutes after the Jacksonville game, but kind of said, you know, it came out that he talked to his lineman and he wants to play for a bunch more years. And it just clears everything up. You know, it's stuff we don't have to talk about and speculate about. And it clears things up for the organization. And Kevin talked about that. When you know you have a franchise quarterback for at least a couple more years, it allows you to plan accordingly. And they went into the draft last year. They took Joshua Dobbs. They've got Landry Jones under that two-year contract, which I was a fan of, just to kind of secure the position to some degree. And now they don't have to worry about it in this draft, and they can think about, you know, where they are going forward. So that was, you know, maybe the thing that jumped out for me first.
Yeah, and kind of starting at the top with Colbert in his interview at the Combine, geez, what day was that now? Was it Monday or Tuesday? All my days are Wednesday, I think. His initial press conference. He put to bed what kind of all of us already expected, and that's the fact that Ryan Shazier will not play in 2018. So that's out there. That speculation is over. He continued to say that Ryan Shazier will be a big part of the team, that he's in the building every day. He's working on his upper body strength daily, and then going in and watching film and working with the coaching staff as far as that's concerned. So he's staying involved. Colbert said all the right things when it comes to Ryan Shazier and how he's going to stay involved with the team during the 2018 season, but obviously he's not going to play. The next thing that Colbert hit on, and it really shouldn't be a surprise, the next two topics here, the Steelers are not looking to trade Martavis Bryant. Of course, there was the report last week that teams had called the Steelers inquiring about Martavis Bryant, and Colbert did, in essence, confirm that, you know, thanks to a media report, they did get calls on Martavis Bryant. However, they're not looking to trade him. They are nipping all that in the bud real quick. He's going to be with the Steelers in 2018. And, you know, that makes perfect sense. I don't think you're going to get trade value, what many people would think would be good trade value when it comes to a guy like Martavis Bryant. B, you still need a guy like him and his skill set to be able to stretch the field and the things that he's been able to do. And on top of it, look, I mean, I don't think Martavis Bryant is going to be in a Steeler uniform past the 2018 season, but you certainly can use him. And the fact of the matter is you'll probably see him walk off free agency a year from now, and then hopefully he's had a good enough season where, you know, he's going to get a very lucrative contract, and that in turn will give the Steelers a third-round compensatory draft pick the year later there. So not anything a surprise there. At least we can put that to bed once and for all. And then, of course, Colbert, you know, the Steelers have still yet to sign Le'Veon Bell to a long-term contract extension with the with a March 6th deadline, franchise tag deadline, getting ever so closer, but Colbert says, look, our intention is to sign Le'Veon Bell to a long-term deal still, so we'll watch that. I mean, will they get something done in the next few days? I think the easy speculation is to say no, but stranger things have happened, and if they don't get it done by Tuesday, then we can expect the franchise tag to be placed on Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, and we've all talked about this. I know you and Alex talked about it again, and I'll just go on record so that it's clear. I'm not in favor of the Steelers doing a long-term deal with the numbers that are being talked about with Le'Veon Bell. So, you know, if it were my decision, I wouldn't do it. I'd also be fine with Le'Veon Bell walking. I just, you know, I think, you know, I've said it many times. I'll just say it one more time. I think this is not disparaging Le'Veon Bell, the football player. He's an excellent football player. I just think, as I've said many times, you can get a lot of the production that you would get from Le'Veon Bell for, you know, much less than the $15 million number that we're talking about. So, you know, look, the Steelers would like to have Le'Veon Bell if they can work it out and slap the tag on him and get it done. I'm fine. You know, clearly that's fine. But if Le'Veon Bell were to somehow not get that done and the Steelers were not to put the tag on him, I'm not going to, you know, shed tears and think the Steelers aren't going to be a competitive football team this coming season. So, you know, I know you guys have talked about a long-term deal and being in favor of that if it gets done. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm on the other side of that. I don't want to see the Steelers put $30 million plus guaranteed or even more than that if it's, you know, going to be more than 2 years of guaranteed money toward a back when, you know, the second highest back in the league's making $8.5 million. And you think about it, Ezekiel Elliott's had, you know, off the field issues. David Johnson's missed a season with injury. I don't think the guys who are, you know, we'll see what kind of money Todd Gurley gets, but I don't think the elite guys who are coming up are going to be looking at $15 million a year kind of salary. So it's going to be interesting to watch how it all plays out.
Well, what I've said all along is, look, I'm not opposed to a long-term deal for him. And I reiterated this with Alex the other day. My only concern is that the guaranteed money it would end up being so high that it makes him tough to cut after 2 years. If the guaranteed money is okay, in line and makes him cuttable after the next 2 years, and the average yearly value is right at $15 million, I'm fine with that. But my biggest fear, and I continue to say this, my biggest fear with Le'Veon Bell is just the workload. 400 touches year in, year out. At some point, it's going to take its toll, I think, based on history. I've done a lot of posts on this, over the course of the last calendar year about worried about the workload, running backs. And look, if you franchise tag Le'Veon Bell or you sign him to a long term deal. If he is a 400 touch guy, regardless in 2018. Now, can you shave a few of those touches off? Maybe get him around 375 or so. But yeah, it's probably possible. But you're paying that guy because he is an every down back, because he can play 98% of the snaps, because he can do some things well that a lot of other backs in the league can't, such as pass protection and those kind of things. But I'm just scared. I'm scared to death that if he wants a lot of guaranteed money, that he's not easy to cut after 2 years. That's where my biggest problem is. But the Steelers haven't really showed no signs in the past of overpaying guaranteed money to players who don't play the quarterback position. So, this is going to be fun to watch, from here on out. I mean, are we going to be talking July 10th? Here we are, right at the deadline again. Are they going to be able to get a deal done with him? We'll see. I am not going to be surprised either way based on the way things went last offseason. And look, the biggest thing that I hate to see out of all this is potentially Le'Veon Bell staying away for the entire offseason OTA practices and then holding out for training camp. I love him to death. I think he's a great running back, but one way or the other, I hope they get things where he can be around off season. And obviously, I think he's going to be in a Steelers uniform in 2018. Flip a coin as far as how this thing turns out past that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting about how he handles the off season this year, knowing how things went. We're never going to have the answer as to whether his maybe his lack of production in the first couple games was due to that or not. I'm not a big believer that Le'Veon Bell needs a ton of work in training camp to kind of get game ready for the season. When he came back from injury the year prior, I think he put up 200 total yards or 143 rushing and a bunch passing in his first game back. So I don't think it makes a ton of difference. I think you'd rather have guys around than not have them around. There's a reason they go to training camp. But, we'll see if he has a different view the second time around if they don't come to a deal. And obviously, I think everybody will know, once that July date, whatever it is, July 15th roughly, goes by, if a long-term deal is not done, that this will be the end of the line probably for Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you don't get him signed to a long-term deal before the middle of July, you can guarantee, I think, at that point, almost guarantee that 2018 will be his last season, because you're not putting a quarterback tag on him this time next year. That's just out of the question, in my opinion, from there. So, I have a
fear. Did Steelers go running back in the draft? I mean, let's say March 6th comes and he's tagged, and nothing's done by draft time. Where is the priority list of running back on the? Where's priority running back on the Steelers list?
I'd still like either way, David. I'd like to see them address it.
Mid rounds, third to fifth round, somewhere.
Yeah, fourth, fifth. Fourth, fifth, maybe right around in there. I mean, look, no disrespect to James Conner, but we haven't seen enough out of him yet to know that he could be in every down back, you know, in the NFL. Of course, coming off the knee injury, and look, he's been nicked up too, right? I mean, not only Hodgkin's lymphoma issue that he had, but you know, a little minor nicks and bumps and bruises here and there as well too. And we saw his pass protection; he's got to come a long way in his pass protection. So I think as insurance, you know, and look, I mean, we don't expect a lot of picks to go to the offensive side of the ball, but I think there's going to be one, two, or you know, probably three of them that go there. Why not try to get you know, a third, fourth, fifth round running back, and especially one that can help you out immediately on special teams as well too, a real physical guy that you can, because look, I mean, Fitzgerald Toussaint, bless his heart, I think that's over with now, and I know a lot of people are high on Stevon Ridley, but the Steelers have yet to sign him, and even if they do, you can upgrade that, I think, via the draft, and the whole idea is to make sure that your roster's better top to bottom than it was last year, and I think drafting another running back will give you the ability to do that. You see a lot of people don't mocking a first round running back to the Steelers. I never say never, right? But I will be shocked if that happens.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but yeah, I would be, you know, look, I'll be shocked if they don't go inside linebacker and defensive back, mainly safety, in the first two picks. That would shock me. So, you know, we'll see where that plays out. Okay, so the rest from Kevin.
Well, you know, speaking of inside linebacker now, well, here's another thing we'll hit on real quick here. Kevin Colbert talked, you know, pretty decent about the draft class of quarterbacks this year, calling it an intriguing group, and how they have to sort through them to predict their ability to succeed at the NFL level because of the majority of them coming out of the spread concept and all. Look, I expect the Steelers to do their due diligence on this year's quarterback class, just as they did last year. And I think if you go back and listen to a couple interviews in the past past year, I think this same time last year, Kevin Colbert talking about the way they are evaluating these quarterbacks nowadays. I think they have to get back into a serious process of doing that to see how they are able to do that and how these quarterbacks turn out, because you know, even though Ben Roethlisberger, you know, wants to play, you know, 3 years or longer, there's no guarantee that will happen. There's obviously going to come a point where the Steelers are going to have to draft another franchise quarterback again. So why wouldn't you go hard and heavy these last 2 years, or last year and this year, and really every year moving forward, at spending a lot of time at evaluating the quarterback class, because you want to see how well you do once these guys hit the NFL level as well too. Now Kevin Colbert lays out there, you know, if we decide to pick a quarterback this year, I will be shocked if that happens, you know, especially in the early rounds. But he definitely kind of left the door open, if you will, that they might, saying you can never have too many good players at one position. But, boy, if you spend a first round or even a second round draft pick on a quarterback this year, there's going to be a lot of people scratching their heads of why you even did that last year with, you know, in the mid rounds with Joshua Dobbs. So I like that they're doing the process. I expect them to show up at these pro days and all like that as part of the process with this quarterback group. But I'll be shocked if they draft one.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is, you know, I'll put it this way, is I certainly expect him to go into the quarterback pool next year. Landry will be done with his contract. And, you know, I don't think we're going to know a lot more about Joshua Dobbs, ideally, because you just see him in a couple preseason games and then he's not going to play again. So, you know, I could see them going second round, you know, a year from now. We've seen the top six or seven names here. We've seen all of them mocked, you know, in the top 20 picks at some point, whether it's, you know, guys on the back end of that group, whether it's I'm going to get this wrong. Is it Randolph Mason or Rudolph Mason?
Mason, Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph, right, there you go. Okay, so you've got him, you know, Baker Mayfield, you know, I've seen him mocked at the overall number one pick in the draft. I've seen him mocked at the end of the first round. Lamar Jackson could go anywhere in that range. You know, if Lamar Jackson were to be on the board at, you know, 56 or wherever it is the Steelers are in the second round, could you take him there? I guess sure, if you did your work and you felt like that was just ridiculous value. But I just with all the needs around the league at the quarterback position, I'll be surprised if there's anybody we've spoken about that's even on the board in the second round, and I just don't see it in the first round. So I'm with you. They took care of it last year, so you kind of set the position. They'll certainly have other guys in the OTAs and in camp, you know, have an arm in camp. But yeah, but you know, both running back and quarterback being at the top of the position chart would be surprising to me.
Sounds like your easy bake oven's going off there.
I just want to make sure I was ready to go when we move things up, so I forgot to turn the alarm off.
Some other things Kevin Colbert said, talking about the inside. You know, we not many people listening to this podcast don't expect the Steelers to draft a line, an inside linebacker, first round or even second round. You know, Kevin Colbert. You know, I don't know how you feel. I always feel Kevin Colbert tells the truth gives his true thoughts when overviewing the depth of classes year in and year out. I think if you go back and look at what he said in the past, you know, I think the Steelers draft has kind of played along with things he said. Well, he was asked about the inside linebacker class during the interview on Steelers Nation Radio, and he says there's a few impactful players, not a lot, but there's a lot of numbers at the position. He goes on to say the guys may have one talent. They are better against the run. They're better in coverage. They're better chasing and those type of things. There's a lot of guys that have individual talents that may have that we may have to sort through, but impactful players, no. There's not a ton of those at that position. That's one of the leaner spots, he says, about the inside linebacker position. Now, you know, obviously Roquan Smith and Tremaine Edmonds are two guys that a lot of people would deem as the cream of the crop and maybe impactful players at the inside linebacker position this year. Some people try to throw Leighton Vander Esch in that category as well, along with the kid out of Alabama. I don't know. You know, you listen to Kevin Colbert, you know, people say, well, this is just a smoke screen. Do you think 31 other teams really give a crap what a general manager says about the depth of a position, David, and him hauling around that maybe inside linebacker might not be the route that they go, or kind of insinuating that inside linebacker might not be the position that's on the board for them to draft in the first round? Do you really buy into this narrative that that's a smoke screen, or some things that Kevin Colbert says are a smoke screen?
They shouldn't have their jobs if they do.
Right. You have to evaluate players on what you think they are and what your draft needs are. I don't think you build a draft board or take a draft pick because X player might get X player that you like might get might or might not be taken by another team, right? I mean, it just I read this stuff every year, and apologies to listeners if you're one of the ones that makes these kind of comments on Twitter or in the comments and posts. Like David said, if another team is worried about what another team's general manager has to say, something's wrong there.
Yeah, look, everybody's you got a staff. It's your job to make decisions. You know, look, Kevin's probably got decent relationships with 15 or 20 of the other general managers in the league. I don't know where he lists on the tenure list. You can probably write a post on that, but he's got to be up there probably in the top five, if not the top one, been with the team since 2002 or something like that?
2000.
Yeah, 2000. So, you know, look, he knows all these guys. He has relationships. They're not, you know, they might read what Kevin says and think about it and agree with it or not agree with it, but they're not making their decisions based on two sentences from Kevin Colbert. And I don't think anybody – I hope nobody thinks that that's how other people operate. This is a, you know, billion-dollar league. Not everybody out there is the smartest guy in the world, but, man, you know, you've done something to get to your position. So they're going to make their own decisions.
So what do you buy into that about Kevin Colbert saying there's just a few impactful players at the inside linebacker position there, and that it's one of the leaner spots this year?
The honest answer is I can't give it an answer because I've looked at, you know, I know about something about four of these guys. So there are 50 of them out there. They're going to be under consideration. So it's, you know, I can't tell you.
And look, I mean, and it's unfair to do it, but how many of these guys are going to be the athletic freak that Ryan Shazier was, right?
Yeah, none. That's why you go, 15th in the draft or wherever you went. So, you're not finding Ryan Shazier.
I guess what I'm getting at here is I already won't be surprised if they don't go inside linebacker in the first round. I am obviously open to that position being addressed. Safety the same way. We time and time again you hear Kevin Colbert talk about special player. And look, if you go back and look at some of the measurables on these on first round guys too. They don't mess around with that. It's usually an elite athlete that's the first overall pick from a Spark. You know, Alex and I talked about Spark numbers the other day in the other podcast as well too. I guess what I'm getting at is if a guy like Roquan Smith or Tremaine Edmonds is off the board, I could, and God bless Leighton Vander Esch. It's going to be interesting. That's one guy I can't wait to see work out at the combine this year. I think people might be a little too high on him. However, he was a productive player, and he's fun to watch on tape. But I kind of wonder how his measurables are going to come in. Is he going to be as sparky of a player as people, think he might be? But regardless, look. Inside linebacker and safety are two positions we expect to address the team to address. But are there any other positions that might be a more athletic, a higher rated player, other positions that the Steelers might go that we're not paying mind to?
I don't honestly know what they are. I can't see them going offensive line that high. We've talked about running back and quarterback. Maybe if there's a tight end they were in love with, I guess that we could open that door. I can't see wide receiver in the first round. So, and I can't see defensive lineman in the first round. Although you could put defensive lineman in the conversation if there was an absolute beast. They thought it was an absolute beast because, look, we see around the NFL teams rotate their defensive linemen more than the Steelers do, and adding another top end player at that position, I wouldn't necessarily argue with that because I think we all agree they need the help on the defensive side of the ball. So, that leaves you at either of the defensive back positions, but certainly the need is much more glaring at safety. But it takes where it takes us is something else that I think Kevin mentioned, and we've talked about it before, is I'll be shocked if they don't sign one or two linebackers in free agency. Because they're short at the position, and they're short at the position because of the Shazier situation. But they don't have James Harrison. They don't have Arthur Motes. So they're just actually just down bodies at the depth level. So they need to bring in a lot of guys to compete at that position and fill a starting spot and potentially most of the backup spots.
As I've written, dating all the way back to January, I told Alex the other day, I'll be absolutely shocked if they don't address the inside linebacker position in the first week of free agency. And Kevin's comments about this not being an impactful inside linebacker, not many impactful inside linebackers in this draft class, further confirms my opinion that we're going to see them. I don't think Kevin Colbert is a master at this over the years, and I don't understand why people don't see this, that yes, they'll probably still draft an inside linebacker first two rounds, but Kevin's not going to back himself into a corner where he absolutely has to address that position, and especially a weak one, a supposed weak one at that. So, with what's happened with Shazier, I, you know, I, I you're going to, I will be shocked if in the first week of free agency they don't address the inside linebacker. And as soon as they do, I think a lot of people are going to freak out and say, well, there goes them drafting, you know, possibly drafting one in a draft. It does not prevent you from still addressing that position. Now, you know, there's already several names floating around. We've already talked about quite a few of them on previous podcasts, so no sense rehashing that. Maybe we will right before the start of new league year gets going. But yeah, you absolutely, I think, have to do that. You know, in the coming weeks here. Now, something else that certainly didn't hurt my feelings that Colbert had to say. This 3-4 outside linebacker prospect group this year is a quality group, according to Kevin Colbert. He says the outside linebacker group is deeper. I mean, there's some kids that stand up, and there are several of the classic tweeners that we have to project those guys to be able to play in our defense. He goes, now, history has been with us. It goes on with the Jason Gildens, the Joey Porters, and the Lamar Woodleys. Those have worked out. We drafted a kid, Jarvis Jones, that played up and was a dominant player in a 3-4 defense at Georgia, and it didn't transfer to the NFL. T.J. Watt has for his first year. You know, he goes on to say, this group collectively of the undersized defensive ends and enough stand-up backers that I think that is a quality group there. So, you know me and edge rushers, David. you can't get enough of them, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with Bud Dupree and the fifth year option as we get a little bit later into the summer. But you know, obviously James Harrison's not going to be back in 2018. Arthur Motes is not. You know, I will be shocked if Arthur Motes is back in 2018. Sure, Anthony Chicklow is going to be back on our likely on a restricted tender, but you know, Dupree, Watt, and Chicklow, of course, Keon Adams, we'll have to see what he's able to become, but it essentially be his rookie year in 2018. How shocked would you be if the Steelers were to draft an edge rusher at 28 overall?
I'd be pretty surprised, but again, you figure, you know, the one position where, you know, you can, they can still use good players with the book being out on Bud Dupree is, you know, they're going to need to go there, you know, at some point again in the future. So, nothing on the defense would surprise me because they haven't shown that their defense is good enough with the talent they have. So nothing on the defensive side of the ball would surprise me.
Will Bud Dupree be a Steeler in 2019?
I think so. I would bet on it.
I'm gonna bet no.
Is J.J. Wilcox going to be a Steeler in 2018?
We'll get to that in a minute. my point being, I don't think you can rule that out. And you know, the other thing, let me ask you this. Ramon Foster's up there in age, right?
I'm guessing this will be Ramon Foster's last year with the Steelers.
And bless his heart, B.J. Finney, when asked to play left guard, has done a good job. And in my opinion, still, from what we've seen in the NFL, B.J. Finney is a better left guard than he is a center. But with that said, if one of the top, let's say, two guards that can play left guard is available to you at 28, what do you do there?
You know, look, if the Steelers think there's a great player on the board at almost any position, you know, Baker Mayfield's sitting there and they think he's the next coming, you know, then you take him. If Calvin Ridley were to drop to for some reason drop to 28, you take him. So, as I said, Kevin's track record is pretty damn good and the Steelers' success is pretty damn good, so you're not going to question any of it.
How close would the intersection be to need versus want versus –
as it has been the last 3 years, I think it'll be 100%. That's why I think it'll be an inside linebacker or a safety.
Okay, I just wanted to cover. It shouldn't be that hard to narrow down the further we get into this thing and the pre-draft visits and stuff like that. But speaking of pre-draft visits and combine visits, remember Juju Smith-Schuster last year, David, had virtually no contact with the Steelers. And lo and behold, he's your second-round pick last year. So, you know, sometimes we try to read way too much into these things and visits and combine data and those kind of things. And lo and behold, it was still left scratching our head at some point. Now, granted, there were a lot of us that figured the wide receiver position would be addressed last year, and maybe even as early as the second round, because of the way the visits and pro day stuff, and obviously just because of the nature of the position last year alone, and Martavis Bryant coming off of the suspension, and Sammy Coates not having a great time in Pittsburgh at the time. So, you know, I think, you know, a lot of that made sense there. So I just caution sometimes to try to read way too much into these things. Now, kind of wrapping up what Kevin Colbert said, you know, recapping the quote unquote, I guess, positional depth of this year's draft class. Here is what his thoughts were on Wednesday. He says you can go right through it. The running backs are strong. The quarterbacks are strong, which is great for the league. Wide receivers, there's a high number of wide receivers. I can't say there's a bunch of impact wideouts. Tight ends, the numbers are down, says Colbert. The interior offensive line are down. And he says, as usual, the tackles are good. Now, on the defensive side of football, we've already talked about a few of them. Colbert says, safeties are good. Corners, there's an exceeding, like the receivers. I can't say there's a ton of great impact guys, but there's a lot of numbers. Outside linebacker types are good. Inside linebackers, not so much. There's a few impactful guys, but then there's a lot of numbers. And inside guys usually have one ability, and maybe they can cover, they can play, they can play to run, or maybe they're special team guys. There's a nice group of those. Defensive line, it's more outside guys than inside guys. So that's Colbert wrapping up his thoughts on the depth of the 2018 draft cat class. We'll put that quote in our back pocket and see how maybe it matches to the actual draft in a few more months there. You asked an interesting question. Will J.J. Wilcox be in a Steeler uniform in 2018? And, you know, I guess a lot of that question stems from what Jeremy Fowler reported. When was it? Thursday evening there. According to Fowler, the Steelers have expressed interest in retaining Wilcox for the 2018 season and possibly with a reworked contract.
I don't think J.J. Wilcox was a bad player when he was on the field for the Steelers. J.J. Wilcox got in the doghouse for getting a bunch of special teams penalties toward the end of the season, and then, you know, essentially got benched and didn't get much of a chance to get back out there. Some of the things he did on the field I think were okay. They thought, you know, the special teams penalties are dumb penalties. They're easily fixable if a guy just doesn't, you know, do the dumb thing. So I'm not surprised that the Steelers would be interested at the right number. I think our point was the reason we're going to release J.J. Wilcox is because you're not going to have a backup safety special teams guy at $3.1 million. You're just not going to do that. So, okay, if he's willing to, you know, renegotiate for half that amount, sure. For $1.5 million, I bring J.J. Wilcox back.
You know, if he couldn't get a helmet, if you couldn't ignore the special team stuff enough, in other words, saying that he's good enough backup safety, you know, in other words, he can't be your number, you know, your first.
Yeah, he was obviously your fourth safety.
Yeah, if you can't say last year that he was your first guy off the bench last year, why the hell are you going to keep him around more than a minimum?
You know, the answer to that might be relate to Mike Mitchell, just having guys under contract when you get to the draft and when you get to camp.
Yeah, but if that's the case, I'm going to keep him at the minimum. Then I'm going to say, okay, here it is. We want you to play for them. If you want to stick around, we want you to play for the minimum.
It's not quite splitting hairs, but you know, it's close to splitting hairs. But yeah, we're, you know, so we're in the same ballpark of and obviously the Steelers are as well.
I'm for keeping them.
Coming back $2 million or $2.5 million, so he's going to get $1.5 million or less.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're not going to just cut him down $1 million and be done with it. You're going to try to. I mean, $3.125 million. Even if you cut him now after roster displacement, let's say a $500,000 player, you effectively saved what $2.6 million by cutting him in true cap value because of the roster displacement. So. You know, start backing the numbers up from there. So, how much of a cut is he willing? Look, I mean, I don't think he's going to get $3 million from another team if he's cut and thrown on the street. So he's going to have to do some serious, evaluation of what he thinks he can get. Now, obviously, if you ask him to take the minimum, he'll probably say, well, I could probably get that, you know, at least that out on the open market. So, look, I my thoughts on it, David, cut him. That would be my thoughts on it. Just go ahead and cut him and see if you can do better.
Okay. What else we got coming out on the list?
Oh, wow. Let's see here. What else happened? Kerryon Johnson, you know, not surprising, informal meeting with the Steelers at the combine. His running style has been compared quite a bit, obviously, to Le'Veon Bell, kind of a patient running style. Be interesting to see where he ends up going. Some people have him second, third round pick, but you know, this is a good running back class, David, and I think a guy like Kerryon Johnson, you know, because of his injury history and things along those lines, I think that's the kind of guy that could potentially fall maybe into late third round, fourth round, that kind of territory, just because, you know, everybody looks at each player and they forget that, man, you have all these positions and you only have 32 picks in each round, obviously minus or not counting the compensatory draft picks there, but that's why it's so hard. People try to nail you down. Where is this guy going to go? First or second round? Obviously, you had the blue chip first rounders, but from there, I mean, you really have to start giving yourself like a 50 spot leeway. As far as where guys are going to end up, because, I mean, just because of the way, you know, a guy might be a late second-round talent, but he fall into the middle of the third round, and because you said he's a second-round talent, a lot of people say, well, you called him a second-round guy. So you'll keep that in mind when looking at these guys. Inevitably, guys fall. Look at Carl Lawson last year. I mean, how late he ended up going. Look at Andrew Billings a few years ago, how far, you know, he fell in the draft and things along those lines. And once again, we're going to report on a lot of these guys having combine interviews and formal and informal meetings. But do keep in mind that the Steelers can meet with 60 of these guys formally for 15 minutes at the combine, and then they can just have as many kind of informal meetings as you want. We're going to report them. We're going to pass along the ones that we know. But in the grand scheme of things, I think a better thermometer gauge, if you will, is always these pre-draft visits. But as we saw with Juju Smith-Schuster, not even that is kind of foolproof.
Yes, exactly. You know, we try to read as many tea leaves as we can and do the best as you can. But you know, the that's it. You know, it is what it is.
Any other around the league type stuff? What do you think about Honey Badger potentially being cut by the Cardinals?
Why? Didn't see that headline. What's the logic behind it?
Just his salary. Dude's pretty some substantial guaranteed money, I think, coming up, and then of course coming off, you know, a couple of injuries there. Steve, is it Kime or Kime? Really didn't commit to.
He's a good football player. That would surprise me.
Right. Yeah. I will be surprised if he's released, but there's been quite a bit written about it over the last couple of days that he could be potentially a salary cap casualty. We'll see. I mean, look, the start of the new league year is what? A week from, let's see, today is the 2nd. It's a week from this coming Wednesday, so it shouldn't be long before we see whatever salary cap casualties the Steelers wind up having. And, of course, there's going to be a few more happen around the league.
You know, Mike Pitts are going to get cut or not?
Well, as I've said and written several times, I will not be surprised either way.
I think that's fair. I think you'll stick around, but I think that's a good answer.
There're going to be a lot of people eating crow if he's still around. Now, look, as I've said too, just because he sticks around and makes it past the start of new league year does not guarantee he's going to be on the 53-man roster. Now, of course, his odds do increase, but I think it could go either way, and I will not be shocked. But so many people have gotten on me for leaving it open-ended like that, that I'm kind of rooting for Mike Mitchell to last past the start of the new league year so I can say I told you so, just because of sheer fact. I mean, if you cut him, boy, I mean, what do you have left at the safety position? I mean, granted, look, I get it. Mike Mitchell's not going to the Pro Bowl. Has never deserved to go to the Pro Bowl since being with the Steelers, and won't go to the Pro Bowl likely in 2018. But can you back yourself in that big of a corner by cutting him now? Unless you have a kind of a foolproof plan with free agency that you know that you can go out and get a guy like Trey Boston or one of these other highly rated, free agent safeties this year. All I'm saying is this. If you cut Mike Mitchell now prior to the start of new league year, you better have a good plan in place.
Yeah, we're going to see the Steelers go into free agency and go find a linebacker. I don't know if there's a safety out there they like. It's basically would you sign some guy for $5 to $7 million to replace Mike Mitchell rather than carry Mike Mitchell for another year at $5 million? I don't really see that happening. So it's not going to surprise me if Mike Mitchell plays out, his last season. But I certainly expect the Steelers to, and with Kevin kind of endorsing the safety position in the draft, I certainly expect the Steelers to go safety high in the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people we've talked, there's been a lot of written about this guy possibly moving to safety and this guy possibly moving to safety. There's that's all nice speculation on our part with guys like Brian Allen and guys like.
I don't think. It gets talked about a lot. It rarely happens. It does happen. It's not like it's never happened, but I don't see them moving Cam Sutton or Brian Allen to safety.
Right. There's nothing telling us right now at this point that it will happen. And I still stand by the fact that if you were going to move a guy, it would be Brian Allen. But I mean, it's all fine and dandy to say, and look, I don't run around saying, on a yearly basis, well, they should move this guy from outside to inside or inside to outside or Ryan Shazier, move him to safety. But if there was one guy, I think Brian Allen could be the guy. But with that said, there's nothing telling us that will happen. And it just goes back to the whole thing. Yes, we expect the Steelers to draft the safety position in the draft this year. But can you rely totally on, in other words, as you sit here now, can you go ahead and cut Mike Mitchell right now, knowing that you're going to get one of, let's say, three potentially impact safeties that can come in and take over for you right away?
Yeah, no, that would be. I don't see the Steelers doing that.
Right, I don't either. That's why I think there's a kind of a snowball's chance in hell, if you will, that Mike Mitchell makes it past the start of new league year. I mean, we'll see. I mean, the good thing is now
we're better than a snowball's chance in hell.
Better than a snowball's chance in hell that Mike Mitchell makes it past the start of new league year. The good thing is we don't have too much longer to wait till we find out.
Okay. What? Anything else? Top of the food chain here?
No, I think we beat this up pretty good. We'll definitely kind of start a next week review on Tuesday. I think Tuesday's the final day of the combine, so we'll kind of go back over kind of the highlights of that. Maybe Alex will be with me. Maybe you'll be with me, either one, and maybe you'll be back on Friday. I don't know. We'll have to see how the schedule plays out with us. But I think we beat it up pretty good today, David Todd. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what we do, go and want to donate to the cause, go to SteelersDepot.com, hit that donate button, upper right navigational bar. Also, if you want to follow along with these combine stats, we're updating them real time on SteelersDepot.com. That's pinned at the top and will remain pinned at the top of the site all weekend long into the start of next week. David, enjoy the rest of your time in New York City.
Yeah, I always appreciate the work you guys do on the combine. It keeps me from spending 8 hours in front of the television. So looking forward to catching up on all that. And we'll talk Tuesday. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.